Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Danielle, the office manager at Striving Together Publications. Striving Together Publications is a ministry committed to providing you with life-changing books and resources. One of my favorite things about working for Striving Together is hearing your stories. Stories of how God has used a book, a CD, or a Sunday school curriculum in your life and ministry. Every day, we rejoice that our resources are helping others to come to Christ and helping Christians grow in their faith. Our online store is filled with resources that will encourage you and those you love. Be sure to visit us at strivingtogether.com, or we would love to talk personally with you. Just call toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Thank you for allowing us to serve you through Striving Together Publications.
In Exodus chapter 20, God gave us 10 great laws. They hold the keys to overcoming life's greatest challenges. Next on Daily in the Word, we'll study how to overcome the greatest challenges of our lives with Dr. Paul Chappell. Stay with us. Often the most difficult and trying challenges of daily life are due to the fact that we're working against God's natural laws of life. We're working against the way He designed life to function rather than submitting to His laws. The keys to overcoming the greatest challenges we face are often found in submitting to God's ways. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study how to overcome the greatest challenges of life by keeping God's 10 great laws from Exodus chapter 20. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and we come to you with the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about our ministry, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you can subscribe to Dr. Chappell's daily devotion. You can also download Daily in the Word to take with you on your computer or iPod and listen to at your convenience. Here's now Pastor Paul Chappell to introduce today's message in this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges.
The name of God is above all other names, and today we learn from the Word of God that we're not to take the Lord, our God's name, in vain. Are you like me? Does it grieve you when someone takes God's name in vain? Or does it grieve you when Hollywood insists on using profanity in order to promote a lifestyle that is against the things of God? Well, today we're going to learn that there are still some sacred things in this world. And one of those most sacred things is the very name of God. Let's learn today how to keep His name sacred.
And the poll indicated that 75% of the people questioned said that they encounter profanity in public places either occasionally or frequently. Two-thirds said that they think people swear more now than they did 20 years ago. By the way, how many of you would agree with that as well? There seems to be a rise of profanity. Seems like some people can't express themselves without being profane. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, as a Christian man, when I hear the name of God taken in vain, it's like slapping me right in the face. It bothers me. It bothers me to hear my Savior's name taken in vain. Someone says, well, what's in a name? I mean, what's the big deal? Well, I want to remind you today that you're concerned about your name. There's not one of you here today that wants your name misabused or abused or something that you didn't do tacked onto your name or something that doesn't relate to you attributed to your name. All of us are concerned about our name. In fact, in the United States of America, there are laws to protect us against slander so that we might keep our name in the way that we want it. But what about God's name? God is the creator. God is the sustainer of the universe. He is holy. And God says, I want you to remember my name and to keep my name holy. In fact, in verse 7, he says, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, someone might say, well, you know, this is in the Old Testament, sounds kind of legalistic and so forth, and they might dismiss this message as trivial. How many of you understand nothing in the Bible is trivial? Hey, these are God's big 10 right here. These are God's 10 commandments. And he says, I don't want you taking my name in vain, and I won't hold you guiltless if you disregard this commandment. Well, let's take a few minutes this morning and learn how we together as believers can keep his name sacred. Just three quick thoughts today. Notice, first of all, the preeminence of God's name. If you would follow in your notes this morning, you'll find the preeminence of God's name. And you're going to learn with me that his name is a holy name. Amen. His name is a holy name. God's titles, names, and descriptions teach us about him. And they help us to understand how we might relate to him. Some of you remember how Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, what's the next word say? Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means set apart, sacred, holy. Your name is a holy name. In the Old Testament days, when the scribes would write out the scriptures, whenever they would come to one of the names of God, they would set down their pen and pick up a brand new pen before they even wrote the name of God. And when the scribes came to the name Yahweh, when they came to those four Hebrew letters that made that name Yahweh, they would not only put their pen down, they would go back to their place of residence. They would completely bathe all over again. They would change garments. They would come back to their desk. They would pick up their pen, and then and only then would they write the name Yahweh, because the name of God was hallowed. It was revered in their lives. Woodrow Wilson's father was a Presbyterian minister. One day, Mr. Wilson was out with a friend, and they were walking along the way, and his friend, just without much reason at all, took God's name in vain. His friend, realizing he was with a minister, said, I am sorry, Reverend, I didn't mean to say that. Reverend Wilson said, sir, your apology is not owed to me. Now, a lot of times as a pastor, I'll be out in the community, and someone will just say a terrible word, and they'll go, sorry, Reverend, I didn't mean to say that. Now, there's two things wrong with that. Number one, I don't like to be called Reverend. There's only one Holy Father, and he doesn't live in Rome. Right? He lives in heaven. And the second problem with that is they don't owe me the apology if they're taking God's name in vain. They owe him the apology. I appreciate that they're thinking about the office of the pastor, but sometimes we need to stop worrying just about what men think, and we need to realize there's a God in heaven who has an opinion on this matter. Many of you have studied the works of Sir Christopher Wren, one of the great architects of all time. Christopher Wren was the man who designed and oversaw the construction of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and the place where Princess Di was married, and it was a tremendous, tremendous work of art. And while they were overseeing the construction of that cathedral, Christopher Wren became disgusted with the language of the construction workers. Nothing against construction workers, but I've noticed in all of our building programs that they have a way of explaining themselves sometimes, especially if they hit their finger with a hammer. How many know what I'm talking about? And so Mr. Wren, a godly, God-fearing man, put signs all around the construction site that said, and I quote, due to the heinous custom of laborers to take the name of the Lord in vain, each person is placed on notice that it shall be sufficient cause for dismissal if the name of God is heard taken in vain in this place. Now, how many of you say, if they dismiss people for taking God's name in vain where I work, our employment base would go down by 50% next week? But that's how sincere he was in protecting the name of God. Why? His name is a high and holy name. Secondly, his name is highly exalted. Many times we read his name in the Bible. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Hebrew word there is Elohim. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the plurality of the Godhead, and yet the unity of the Godhead in the creation of this world. We read read the name El in Genesis 14. We read of God the Most High. We read of the name I Am. We studied that a few weeks ago in Exodus chapter 3, where God said to Moses, "Tell them that the I Am that I Am sent you." You see, our God is the self-existent God. He is not a God that's created with the hands of man, but He is the eternal God forever and ever. We read another name, the name Lord, or the word Adonai, which tells us of His power, His omnipotence, and His nearness to us because of His omnipresence. The psalmist spoke of that in Psalm 139 and verse 7. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and shall thy right hand hold me." You see, the more you study the name of God, the more you see the preeminence of His name. It is high and lifted up, and it must be before all other names, this name of God. And so we see it's a preeminent name. But notice, secondly, the protection of God's name. The protection of God's name. Now, why does God give us this commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain"? Very basic this morning, but sometimes we need to get back to the basics. God gave this commandment because He wanted His name to be a protected name. He wanted it to be a hallowed name. God is a holy and a sovereign God, and His name is worthy of respect. Now, very quickly, let me give you a few areas from which we must protect the name of our God. First of all, we must protect His name from denial. From denial. There are many who deny His name. Some will deny the name of the Lord even this week. You'll hear it. I think of how His name was denied in the New Testament. Mark chapter 3 and verse 32, verse 22 tells us, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth He out devils." Here we see that Jesus had performed a miracle in Mark chapter 3, and the religious leaders of the day said that miracle was accomplished by the power of Satan and not by the power of God. They were denying the power of the name and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing that, they were committing blasphemy, because blasphemy is the act of vilifying or ridiculing the person and the works of God. And instead of attributing the healing to the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, they were attributing the healing to Satan himself and were blaspheming and were denying the name of God. Matthew 12:31 says, "Wherefore I say unto you all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven men." Mark 3:28, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Now, I don't know about you, but that phrase, "hath never forgiveness," that's a very serious phrase in the Bible. And God said there's one thing you'll never be forgiven of. Some people call it the unpardonable sin. That is when you say no to Jesus, no to Jesus, no to Jesus, no to His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's drawing you to Christ, you say no. Someone gives you a gospel tract and it has Christ's name, you say no. Someone tries to tell you about Christ, you turn away from it. And God calls this blaspheming, or God calls this turning away from His Holy Spirit. And He says there is no forgiveness from the person who continually blasphemes the Holy Spirit. It is an unpardonable sin. Once you have turned away from God's Holy Spirit, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And if you said no to God's word and to God's name throughout your course of your lifetime, there is no more mercy left. And so we must protect the name of God from those who would deny it and from those who would even attribute His great and wonderful works to other things. I would say to you this morning, when the Bible so clearly says that God created the heavens and the earth, for someone to give credence to Darwin's theory, for someone to say that all of this is by accident, is to deny the name of our God who created the world in which we live. Notice, though, we must protect not only from the denial of His name, but secondly, from the deceptions about His name. Now, this is very important this morning, because there are many today who use the name of the Lord to their advantage. They do not necessarily believe in the name of the Lord, but they will invoke the name of the Lord in a very deceiving way. These are people who would say at one time, all religions are the same, but when they're wanting a vote, they're going to talk like they are a Christian or how much the Lord means to them. Or sometimes to get a little bit of attention for their cause, they will deceitfully use the name of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says it, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." You know, sometimes I'll witness to people, and they have attended one too many comparative religion class over at the Antelope Valley College. And they're bent on defending Muslims. And again, thank God for the freedom we have in America, but this is one nation under God, and they knew which God they were talking about when they wrote that. You read your money. It's not one nation under the gods. And sometimes you'll witness to someone who's had a little class like that and has become an instant overnight expert, and they'll say, "Well, you Christians are just as bad. Why? Look at the Crusades. Look what you did in the Crusades." I just want to set the record straight on that. The Crusades, which began in the 1100s, were officially begun by El Papa, the Pope. The Crusades were the Catholic Church going into the Holy Land, claiming Jerusalem, killing the Muslims, in the name of the Roman Catholic Church. My heritage, my Christian heritage, and many of yours as Bible-believing Christians and Baptists, does not trace our roots back to the Crusades or to the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, if you would study in your encyclopedia, you would find groups of people such as the Waldensians and the Albigenses, and you would find in your encyclopedia things called the Waldensian Crusades, the Albigense Crusades. You know what those were? Those were the Crusades where the Catholic Church killed people called Waldensians because they believed in believers' baptism. They believed that someone should get baptized after they got saved. In other words, the same church that was killing Muslims were killing the forefathers of our Baptist faith. And for someone to try to say that we were a part of the Crusades is historically inaccurate, and it is a misuse of what Christianity is really all about. See? So we must protect the name of God from denial and from the deceptive use of educators and those who would misuse the name of God for their own purposes. Notice thirdly, we must protect the name of God from distortion. You know, there are a lot of people who are religious and sometimes even in a Christian tradition, but they misuse the name of God. They distort the name of God. Let me tell you what. Be careful about people who come up to you and say, "God told me to tell you this." Is that right? Look, if you're going to tell me what God told you to tell me, try to have a chapter and a verse, okay? Because we believe that this is where God reveals Himself, right here in the Word of God. We must not claim to have some connection that someone else cannot or does not have. Look at your notes there in Matthew 7:21. The Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." In other words, those that are using the name of the Lord for their own selfish advantage, in some case, they never even knew the name of Jesus. They never knew Him personally. They were just using His name. There are those who deny the name of the Lord. There are those who are using His name deceptively. There are those who are distorting His name. And fourthly, we must protect the name of the Lord from desecration. From desecration. Now, look at verse 7 if you have Exodus 20 there, and look at again what it says. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in," and what's that next word say? Vain. The word vain is the Hebrew word shav. It simply means in the sense of desolating or emptiness of speech or falsehood. In other words, God says, I don't want you desecrating my name. I don't want you putting my name in a false context. Now, how do people desecrate the name of God? Very simply, God's name is desecrated, first of all, when His name is used to swear. I think we need to be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, how we use the name of God, that we do not take it in vain. We need to teach our children they're not to take the name of God or Jesus or a derivative thereof and just loosely throw it around the house. Christian people ought to protect the name of God. I heard about a little girl in the third grade. She came home from school. She said, "Daddy," she said, "today in school we learned how to curse." Her dad put his fork down, lowered his glasses. He said, "What in the world are you talking about?" She said, "You know, Dad, making those curvy letters." Now, there is a difference between cursing and cursive, all right? But I do know some people who seem to have trouble communicating without cursing. It's like they're really kind of macho, they think, when they say a foul word. They're a big man. And I don't mean to be mean this morning. If you have to every other sentence do that, you are not a big man. You are a big jerk. You've ever thought about this? Why don't people say, "Oh, Hitler"? You know why? Because Satan is attacking not the name of Hitler, but the name of God. Now, we know the only way to clean up someone's mouth is to get the heart clean, right? Look at what it says in Luke 6:45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Okay? So you take a fella and you get him at home at night and he's got 5 hours of HBO and 5 hours of ABC and he goes down to the honky-tonk bar and gutter mouth talk all night there and he's just filling up his heart with that kind of stuff, and when he starts talking it just cannot help but come out. But you bring that old boy and let him meet Jesus Christ, and the blood of Christ washes his sins away, and he starts reading the Bible and he turns away from the filthiness and he starts to listen to the preaching, all of the sudden his vocabulary changes. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come into his heart. You see, Will Rogers, the great theologian that he was, Will Rogers said long ago, when men cursed and beat sticks to the ground, it was called witchcraft, but today it is called golf. Seems like once in a while, if I go out golfing and I get paired up with a couple fellas, might be me and a Christian man, a couple fellas, and they'll hit a nice one, and boy, they just kind of strut back to their golf cart, you know, and then they hit that errant shot, and man, the foul words come. You know, it just, whenever we get angry in this society, just taking God's name in vain. A lot of times, if they're a real good golfer, I wait till about the fourth or fifth hole to begin soul winning. I mean, if they're just beating the socks off me, I say to them, "By the way, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I was just wondering if you knew Jesus or if you knew for sure you're on your way to heaven." It ruins their game every single time. Usually slows the cursing up too. But when we use his name to swear, we're taking his name in vain. By the way, when we use his name for an excuse, we're taking his name in vain. I can't tell you how many people say things like, "Well, God told me to skip church, and God told me to buy this, and God told us to move there." And sometimes I scratch my head and say, "Boy, why do we give God credit for so many things?" You know, we better be careful about just using God's name for whatever cause we want to do.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We invite you to find out more about our ministry. Let us know that our ministry is touching your life when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find many resources to help you and encourage you in your own spiritual growth. Before we wrap up the program, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Thanks, Kerry. What a blessing to team up together and teach and preach here on Daily in the Word. And I want to thank you for being a part of this ministry. If you have not done so already, I want to ask you to visit dailyintheword.org. As I teach and preach every single day on more than 400 radio stations across America, it's a great joy to hear from people who visit dailyintheword.org, and they just simply click on the little tab that says Contact Us, drop us an email, and let us know what God is doing in their life. We love to hear from listeners like you. If God would let you also click the tab that says Donate and send a gift to this ministry in order that we might continue to pay for the airtime, we would greatly appreciate hearing from you today. That's dailyintheword.org. This is Paul Chappell saying thank you for being faithful to the Lord.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, if you'd like more information about how to trust Christ as Savior, or if you've made that decision during this program, we would love to rejoice with you and send you some resources to help you grow in your Christian life. We would also like to send you a study guide for the current series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. This study guide comes with outlines complete for every lesson in this series. It'll be a great resource for you to refer back to or to pass along to a friend. Again, it's the study guide for Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. We'd like to send it to you this month as a gift when you call or write to us. By the way, we do appreciate if you'd consider a gift to the Ministry of Striving Together. Your gift will help us stay on this station and continue ministering the Word of God. You can contribute to our ministry by visiting dailyintheword.org and clicking on the tab that says Donate. To contact us toll-free and request this resource, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, call us at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748, or visit us at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you and know that our program is touching your life on a daily basis. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.